Too. So
Uh-oh.
I'm absolutely not good at the intros. So here we go. We're starting episode 14. And
Ooh.
what was that?
I don't know.
Weird. But here we
Oh.
are.
Huh.
We got episode 14. We got a big show. We got big games. That sounded really dumb. We got some
Big
stuff to talk about.
show, big game.
Big time.
That should be
Is
our
this a
theme
Peter
song.
Gabriel song?
So, I mean, how's everybody's week been? Have anybody played any video games this week?
Yes,
I think we'll get
I
to
did.
what we've all been playing at the end of the show,
Yes.
which we will just have a 20-minute gush session.
Yes.
Well, first bit of real news, I guess. The free games for the October have been announced, and they don't come out yet
Oh, that's so
because,
great.
but they're really good. Well,
That
PlayStation
should be out today, buddy.
What happened?
The game should be out.
Oh, for maybe
Maybe
for
for.
Xbox,
Yeah, they
not
definitely are out.
the PlayStation ones don't come out until the first Tuesday of the month.
Oh, well,
That's
that's
where they.
bizarre.
That is bizarre. I didn't
So
know
there's
that.
updates. It's when the store updates, so that's when they.
Okay.
But
Cool.
anyway.
Yeah, I'll just jump into it. So
Yeah.
for the Xbox games with gold for October, we'll be getting Gone Home by Midnight City Games. And this is more of an experience, storytelling, thrilling game. There's no combat. You're a woman who has gone away abroad for a year, and she returns to her house, and it's completely empty. Or not, I should say her family's gone, but all the rest of her remains, or like not remains, but their belongings still remain in the house.
Oh no.
So, yeah, and then nothing looks like it's been like. It doesn't look like there's been any struggle or anything either. There's just no one there. So you have to try to piece together the mystery by going and exploring.
Did they just go to the mall or something?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. So I don't know. I'm not really excited, but I guess this game won a lot of awards. I guess it's supposed to be a pretty exciting and thrilling indie game. So we'll see about that. It starts on October 1st, so you can go pick that game up today. Next up is the Turing Test. This is a first-person puzzle adventure game by Bulkhead Interactive. I don't believe there's any combat in this one either. I guess I don't really know what they were going for this month in games, but maybe they're going for like a scary isolation theme or something. You're the last person on a space station that's orbiting Europa, and you play the role of Ava Turing, and you must solve the mysteries of the icy planet of Europa. So, I don't know. Again, it looks okay. And then on Xbox 360 via the backward compatibility program, you get Rayman 3 and Medal of Honor Airborne.
That's pretty cool, right?
So,
Rayman,
no,
that's
sure.
Medal of Honor.
Yeah, I don't know. We got Rayman Legends like 4 or 5, 6 months ago. Do we really need another one?
Well, this one's a classic. Well, not maybe not classic, but it's older, right? This is the original Rayman 3. This isn't like a new old BS. So if you're a fan of Rayman, right? I mean, I'm sure there are people.
But where's the horror games?
That's
That's what I was saying. I think that's what Gone Home is and Turing Test is, or supposed to be.
I've
Yeah.
never played Gone Home, so take this with a speck of salt, grain of salt here. It's not horror, really. It's more of just,
It's like a
I don't know.
thriller.
It's not, what happened?
It's like a thriller. It's a mystery.
Yeah, it's like a mystery. I wouldn't call it horror, though.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I wouldn't either. And I've heard really good things about it, and I've heard really good things about Turing Test too. But I mean, we were talking about this for those who don't know, but that it just seems like there should have been some horror games in October.
I
I don't know.
agree. But if you're just looking for quality games and not necessarily horror, I mean, I don't think the Xbox One lineup's bad. You
Yeah.
know, I think, I mean, I've heard good things about both of those games. So.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but I probably won't play either one of these. So that's how well it's going to go for me. I mean, I'm not going to play any of these games. This completely lost month for me. So
you're not going to play Medal of Honor?
No, I'm not.
Oh,
yeah.
What was your guys' favorite Medal of Honor? Because there was a time when they were great.
The first one.
Oh, okay.
Very first.
Yeah,
one.
Probably.
Ton of fun with that game.
I really liked Rising Sun. It was the one where you were playthrough, and then you go to the Pacific.
That was a good game. Yeah, that was good.
Really enjoyed that. Playing through the whole thing co-op back when all first-person shooters had a co-op split-screen mode. So good.
Nice. Nice.
So, yeah.
Which was the one with Kiefer Sutherland? Was that a Call of Duty?
That was Call of Duty.
It was, okay.
It was pretty recent, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Huh. Well, I'm going to do a quick Google, do a goggle here.
He is, of course, Solid Snake now, so.
Solid Snake. Yeah, speaking of Solid Snake, PlayStation Plus games.
Oh, man.
Thank you. You will be getting Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Wow.
And sorry, I don't know much else. You're also beginning the Amnesia Collection, compilation of horror games.
See?
Amnesia, The Dark Descent, and A Machine for Pigs. I have no idea what any of this or what I'm just saying. So sorry if it sounds like I just had a stroke.
is The Machine for Pigs, does that just like drop like little kibble into a bowl? That's what it is.
Oh my gosh. I don't even.
Rick, let me take a throw this one real quick.
Okay, please do.
So, I mean, obviously, if you follow video games at all, you know that Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, was up for a lot of Game of the Year awards the year it came out. People were really, really happy with that game. So whether or not you're a... I got you. I understand.
Jeez. But I feel the same way.
So whether or not you're a fan of... Stealth. I've heard this is a very good game, and I played through the rest of the series, so I'm probably going to use this opportunity to pick up and play this here.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And I think that just as value goes, this is a huge game. This was a AAA game, one of Sony's, or it was Sony's. Now it's Konami's bastard child. flagship franchises. So that's awesome. Now Amnesia. I never played the second one, never played Machine for Pigs, but The Dark Descent is super creepy. I bought it when it first released back in like 2007 or something on the PC. Plug that game in the dark with some headphones, man, get immersed. It's super good. I'm really excited to finally play through that totally and then also play a Machine for Pigs.
Cool.
And as far as horror games go, it was, from what I remember, it was one of the scariest games I've ever played.
Yeah, those are. I think those are pretty scary. They got a great reputation for that. So,
very excited. My hands on that one, and the rest of the games, the PS3 games, Monster Jam Background.
Yeah.
Looks for that.
Oh man, why didn't you lead with that?
Battlegrounds. I'm sorry.
Now, Monster Jam's Battlegrounds.
I like the idea of Monster Jam's in the background.
I do too. Oh my god, guys! It's a monster truck driving game. Like
sold.
I might. You know what?
Oh, this looks good. This looks really good.
The other game, Hustle Kings, is a pool simulator. So I might download that as well.
Wow.
Wait, a pool simulator?
Like billiards?
Oh, I thought you meant like swimming pool. It's like, you have to take care of a pool?
That would be the hardest game ever.
Yeah, right? Oh, man.
No,
you guys, Monster Jam looks really good. It looks like the motorbike games that are really popular, only with monster trucks.
Ooh.
Well, yeah. I know Jason has a weakness for those.
I do indeed.
Do you still have your PlayStation 3, Jason?
I do.
PlayStation 1 this month, by far.
I would say
I would agree.
Oh my gosh, they crushed it.
Yeah. Just the Monster Vita Jams.
Monster Jams. That's just it. Monster Jams alone.
What's in the Vita?
The Vita got Hue, which is a puzzle adventure where you change the background color to solve puzzles or something.
Wow.
And Skyforce Anniversary, which is an air-based shmup. So there we go.
Ooh.
It's like Star Fox, clearly.
Do a barrel roll.
I swoon for the day I played Star Fox 2.
Yeah, I hate you. Don't even talk about it.
I also hate you.
Because I'm jealous. Gonna talk about it. No.
We're going to.
I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it.
You put it on our show notes. So,
we're going to talk about it. Damn it, I did.
Oh, my goodness.
So, what else? So, we had a pretty cool mini console hit stores this week.
No.
Everybody is super excited about these. It's the Sega Genesis and the Atari Classic mini consoles. Wow.
I'm very excited about those.
I heard that I didn't actually play it. I saw some reviews that the Genesis one runs like hot street trash.
Yep. I heard those reviews also.
Wow.
So we don't get that one.
And I'm like, I was really kind of excited about the one that looks like the little Genesis. There's two. There's one that looks like a little box of nothing. It's just a little black box. And then there's one that looks like a Sega Genesis. And I think the one that looks like the Sega Genesis is called Flashback, and the other one is called Classic. I think it probably should be the other way around. But I think those are the names. And I was excited about the Flashback one just because it looks like a tiny Genesis. But, yeah, I don't know. They say the UI is really bad. Apparently some of the games don't run well, so
I don't know. Is inexcusable. Yep. Okay,
yeah, right.
Are making a thing like this, any I don't care who you are, if you're making a mini Flashback console that's preloaded with games, it's plug and play, make sure the games can freaking run.
Yep.
Inexcusable.
No, totally, you're right. I mean, that's and At Games has been making these things for like a really long time too. They should know what they're doing,
right? You know, they
and
don't.
Yet, no.
So, there we go.
So,
let's just stay on the topic of the minis, I guess. Mini SNES launched this week. None of us have it. So, there you go.
Didn't you get one?
No.
I thought you did.
You said you did?
No, I said I was in line.
You liar.
You said your friend got you one.
Okay, yes. My friend has one. He's going to sell to me when I see him.
Oh.
Because he has two.
Okay.
So
it sounds like you have one coming then.
Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, I got one coming, but I don't have it. I haven't played Star Fox 2 yet.
When are you planning on receiving this machine?
Probably middle of next month.
Oh.
I have too much. Have to
ship it from the moon or what?
Well, he lives in Philadelphia, and I don't live in Philadelphia, so I don't see him constantly. It's tough to beat up.
What is it, like 10 minutes?
That's like a 45-minute drive.
Oh. All right.
Can't you meet him and have a beer at the local pub or brewery?
Yeah, I mean, we probably will. But the thing is...
Exchange the goods?
All right, I'm going to delve into this. I have Ashley, and whoever doesn't know, Ashley is my girlfriend. I have her birthday coming up on October 9th. So I'm going to make sure I can take care of that before I buy this mini console.
It's right around the corner.
It is.
That makes sense.
I have the best plan, though. So.
Oh, and yes.
I could go into the plan here, but if she listens to the show, which I don't think she will.
Well, no chance of that happening.
So, anyway, mini SNES. My friend was sending me pictures of him playing Street Fighter with his friend. And I'm just sad because I want to play Street Fighter.
I want to play Secret of Mana.
Yeah.
I never played that. That would be one I would like to play.
You've never played that?
No.
Oh, dude. It's going to blow your mind how good it is.
Yeah.
It's a really good game.
I also really want to play Mega Man.
Which one's on there?
X.
Yeah,
oh, first God, one. I love that one.
Me too.
I feel like I have to mention, since we're talking about the SNES. I feel like I have to mention that Nintendo missed the boat yet again with the classic console and should be releasing tiny cartridges
for these things.
So,
yep.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you guys, which game do you think they missed? Which game do you think they missed that you wish was on there?
Oh, man, like 100. I mean, the Super Nintendo you only get has one. Three good games.
You only get one.
Justice League Task Force.
No.
Oh, man.
No.
Yeah. that question, though, for me, I think Final Fantasy 2 or 4.
4.
But 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's my favorite Final Fantasy. Uniracers. Which one?
Uniracers.
Oh, I never played that.
It's probably the best unicycle racing game you've ever played. If not the only.
that's heady praise, my friend.
But no, seriously, you're just this unicycle and you race around and you can do these like little stunt moves. It was a pretty fun game.
That sounds amazing.
You never played it either, Jason?
No.
Oh, man. Good.
Yeah, no. My game that I would say is a game that definitely would not be on this console, and that would be Metal Warriors. It's one of my favorite games of all time, and I don't think anyone remembers it. So
I don't.
I'm going to look it up.
It's a mech game.
Metal Warriors. Oh, yes, I remember this game, and this is the one where you could climb out. Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love this game too.
You can jack other mechs. You can run around on foot and get squished.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. And it has a versus game. Mode.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. No Smash TV love? You don't want Smash TV?
No, I would have taken Smash TV.
Oh my gosh!
I like Smash TV.
It would be perfect for this with the second controller it comes with.
Mm-hmm. I also would have taken Mortal Kombat with the sweat.
Did you know that you can produce sweat just by punching somebody?
Yeah, and like buckets of it.
It's so what? Silly.
I'm lost.
You remember that?
The sweat?
In Mortal Kombat? For the Super Nintendo, when you punched the guy, there was no blood. It was gray.
Oh, yeah, like sweat. Yeah. That's right. I remember now.
Sure you do. It was a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember, because I wouldn't buy it on the Super Nintendo. I wouldn't play it on my buddy's Genesis.
Me too.
And then you would have seen
the blood code. Abacabba.
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 Just like the Genesis song.
My grandfather had the SNES when I was a wee babby. And he had Mortal Kombat 2 on it. But my mom still didn't let me play it.
But they were just sweaty.
No, she was upset with the decapitations and such.
But all that came out was sweat.
Yeah, but you don't understand.
He cut a guy's head off and he sweats all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. Just like real life.
Absolutely.
Anyway, yeah, no, I never played that. I mean, I did play it as a child. I just wasn't supposed to. So.
Ooh.
I never knew how to get the fatalities down. And yeah, that was always the coolest part for me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I still can't do fatalities regularly. I just don't get it.
I can do them okay now.
What was your favorite?
They made them a lot easier.
Yeah, I guess.
What's your guys' favorite iteration of the fatalities? Do you like the animalities where they turn into animals?
I like the friendship.
Yeah, I was gonna say I like the friendship.
Didn't one of them have a babality?
Yeah, babialities were pretty funny too.
Turn your opponent into a baby.
I mean, why not, right?
Sure.
And then you'd have to watch it and stuff.
Oh,
that's a really long commitment.
It's not even your kid.
No. It's like your arch nemesis.
Yeah.
And then saddled with the responsibility of making sure it doesn't turn back into Sub-Zero.
And kill you in your sleep.
Oh, man, that'd be scary.
Terrible.
Oh, man.
Speaking of getting killed in your sleep, did you guys see the new Battlefront trailer?
I totally did.
I did.
It's pretty awesome.
What? It is.
Yeah, I don't need to be sold on this game, though. I mean,
I know, but it's just, it looks so
It does. It looks great.
It does look pretty good. Anything? Anybody have anything else?
They're bringing back battle points, which is always, I thought they I don't know why they
battle ever points.
Deviated from that. So anyone unfamiliar with the battle points, they had them in Star Wars Battlefront 2. And instead of having to go collect icons or those little coins to switch into a hero or into a machine or a vehicle, you just kill things. And if you kick ass, you can trade the points in and become a hero or probably get into a vehicle is what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So,
and the vehicles are going to be treated like heroes, like the famous vehicles for the space.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool.
So like you can fly the Millennium Falcon and Slave One and all of that stuff, but
Oh yeah.
In that way.
That's pretty neat.
Oh man. The game just looks good too. It looks fun. There's a whole bunch of different modes too. And there's like what they say, there's like 8 places they visited in Star Wars Battlefront. And then there's like 14 or 16 in this one, I believe. So there's just going to be a lot more locations.
What's the release date on this one?
December something.
Okay.
November 17th.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's sooner than I thought.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it is. Dang it.
I'm getting it on Switch.
Ha!
Yeah, you're not?
No.
Are you guys going to play the single-player campaign?
Yeah, definitely.
That's the best part.
Whoa.
Hold on. I actually think it might be the best part of this one. Because, well, aside from Jason hating multiplayer.
Yay.
It's written by the guy who wrote Spec Ops The Line. Which, you ever know anything about, you know, that game shakes you to the core. Well, has shaken people to the core.
But it's also really interesting just from looking at the trailers and that you play as an Imperial soldier. So it's not your typical Star Wars game where you play as a Rebel or Luke Skywalker or something.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of interesting.
And I guess she joins the First Order after, you know, the war ends and stuff. So it's kind of like gives you a little flow from, you know, trilogy into trilogy.
Yeah.
That's true. And like the first scene in the game is like the battle on Endor and the Inferno squad, which is, I forget her name, but she's the leader of that squad. And they're Gideon there.
Something.
Yeah, yeah. And you see, like, you look up and you see the Death Star 2 exploding.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
I mean, you know, like, what kind of an impact would that have? It'd be monstrous.
I think I'd just quit and change sides right then. Like, I think I'm going to join this rebellion.
I don't know.
You guys had it right all along.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool, like, on the deck of the Star Destroyer where her father is actually, I guess, the captain of this ship, and he's telling her, he says, the Emperor is dead. I mean, that's a pretty big moment. It's just cool to see this stuff.
For sure. So, I'm very excited to see where this goes. All right.
Start it up!
We're here. After a brief intermission, we are back.
Yes.
Real quick, we kind of skipped this. A new game is, I didn't know when the exact launch is, but it's called Ruiner. It's coming out on PS4 and PC, I think.
Yep. It's out now. It's PS4, PC.
Yeah, it's out now.
Oh, okay. Xbox One. So this looks super cool. It's like a twin stick shooter. The launch trailer just looks absolutely incredible if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So we have it on the site. Are any of you guys picking this up?
Yeah. At some point in the near future, I will be.
Yeah, we may be getting it. Yeah, we may be getting it for review also. So, but it looks really so good. Yeah, it does. Yeah. And Rick, you were the one who kind of brought this to my attention because I had no idea what this was.
Yeah, I just was flicking around and then I saw it was published by Devolver Games. So that was instant, like, hey, I got to check this out. And then it's got a cyberpunk feel and you're wearing like a Zero mask from Borderlands 2. And you don't have a memory or anything. And it, like Eric was saying, it looks like a twin stick shooter. So it just looks like a lot of fun. It looks like a really great story too. So
cool stuff.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend checking it out.
So, yeah, no, I would too. It looks cool. It's not necessarily on my radar to get like now. Cause there's a bunch of, there's a bunch of games that I want to get that I just can't.
Yeah. Serious.
Like Golf Story?
Yeah, actually. That looks really cute and fun and charming. Yeah,
I kind of looked at that game as well.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just
weird. So weird.
It's like someone took the old school like Mario Golf and like made it in the current age.
Yeah.
So that's something that I will probably pick up at some point, along with SteamWorld Dig 2, which is a great Metroidvania. So
when you're done with Metroid.
Yeah.
SteamWorld Dig.
SteamWorld Dig 2.
It's apparently good, Rick. It's apparently like perfect as far as perfect can be.
Also this week on the Switch was FIFA 18, and I'm not a soccer fan, but that's a pretty big game for them to get.
Yeah, it is. It is
pretty big.
So, lots of
big How can they get this game, but then not like Madden and other EA games?
It's because FIFA is such a much bigger franchise worldwide. So they can bring that over and they have a much better chance of making their money back. The only people who play Madden, mostly, are in the U.S.
Hmm.
What about the NBAs? I mean, there's two NBA games hitting.
That's true. I think, now I don't have like numbers on this, but I think that's definitely bigger, at least in Canada, too. And I'm thinking it might be over in Europe at least a little bit bigger than Madden. It's definitely bigger than NFL.
I see. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think
they have a stadium. They have a stadium full of Londoners right now, European, watching football right now.
Exactly.
And Wembley Stadium is way bigger than any NFL stadium,
as I know from watching WrestleMania.
Bam! Mic drop, Eric.
Listen,
your argument has been destroyed.
All I'm saying is that when you have four NFL football games a year in London, each one is going to sell out. It doesn't matter who's playing. It doesn't matter what. It matters that there are four there a year. Or maybe something like that. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying. It's a novelty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
I mean, that's like if WWE came to Philadelphia and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go to the Wells Fargo Center and see that. I'm not a huge wrestling fan. It's a spectacle.
Why would you watch that?
You know what I'm saying? It's a spectacle. You know what I'm saying?
No, I have no idea where you're going with this.
In people,
if you know, forget it.
Hey, Eric, eat it, Eric.
Stop me.
That's it.
Oh, well. It's kind of a mixed week though for Nintendo. This week, there's like a lot of stuff, but like not a lot of it is all that big.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And I think they're running out of Neo Geo games. Because Burning Fight... I
laughed harder at that than I wanted to.
That's all right. I honestly never even heard of this. So... Whatever.
What was it? Sorry, I was looking for something.
That's all right. Burning Fight.
Oh. Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's a bunch of like small games for the Switch and a lot of stuff, but nothing all that big or impactful.
Come out this week?
Who
on the download? Picross S or something? It's a puzzle series.
Yes.
For Nintendo.
Yep.
A lot of people like that. I'm trying to get this freaking page up. I'm having trouble.
Yeah, Picross X. Also, Demo Sparkle 2. I didn't know there was a Sparkle 1. Oh, Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time.
That's a good game. Everyone should pick that up.
Astro Bears Party.
Ooh. Astro Bears Party.
Physical like Contact. Picture Play. I hope
this is a karaoke game.
See, lots of stuff like that.
One piece. Golf Story as well. We were talking about Golf Story.
Yeah.
And another cool thing that we didn't have in this story because it wasn't like official Nintendo news or whatever. But the developer, the publishers, actually, Chucklefish Studios, or whatever they're called, tweeted that Stardew Valley was approved for the Switch. So that's probably going to be coming out pretty soon.
That's cool.
And if you're a fan of, farming, simulator, Harvest Moon likes, that's apparently a very good game. that I've been waiting for.
I've never played that game before.
Neither have I. And I've been waiting for the Switch version once I heard it was coming to the Switch. So
I don't know if I'm going to buy it on the Switch.
It's the perfect thing to just pick up and take with you. Kind of like Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Which I'm in
Stardew.
Need of.
Stardew. I'm going to pass on that. So. No, you know what's even more rude?
What?
Is what WK or W2K18 is doing with their season pass for WWE.
It's that's what's so rude. Rude.
What so rude.
Tell me, Rick.
Apparently, they're not giving out as much content as before. And they're only releasing like a bunch of wrestlers as opposed to, I guess last season pass had a bunch of different modes you could wrestle with. So shame on you, W2K18.
Yeah.
Sorry. My brain's not working yet.
No, that's fine.
I like the look of this game. Just because they actually did include a lot of classic superstars in the regular base game, but it doesn't seem like there's that. It doesn't seem like there's all that many wrestlers for download either.
Yeah,
like it's not a ton. There's like the Hardy Boys and the Rock Express. Whoopee.
That's lame.
So lame.
Although I did like the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
But I only liked them when they did tag team matches. Like, by themselves, they were annoying.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
But the Rock and Roll Express, I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, who cares?
Who cares?
Put Demolition in there or something.
Yeah.
Is the Iron Sheik available?
Who?
The Iron Sheik?
I don't think so. I don't think he's in this game. Sheiky Baby's not in here.
Wow. Well, I'm going to pass then.
Darn it.
I wasn't going to get it anyway.
I once met the Iron Sheik. Did I ever tell you that?
Did he yell at you?
Yeah, actually, he did. He said I should buy his crap that he had for sale, t-shirts and hats and stuff.
I think you told this story before.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
It was like, come on, buy something.
No, thank you.
Nope. I'll see you later.
Please stop hugging me, sir. I don't want to hear your belongings.
Poor Sheik.
So did anybody watch this Need for Speed trailer?
Nope.
Oh, I watched a few minutes of it.
Is it like multi? Yeah, how long is it?
It's like 3 hours.
Oh.
I should have said a few seconds.
So what's this bad boy on then? I did bad research this morning.
It's all right. It's just kind of showing the open world.
Oh, it's an open world game now?
Yeah, it's called, what is it called? Some like riff on Las Vegas.
Fortune Valley.
There you go.
Payback. Need for Speed Payback.
It's time for payback.
Ooh. Who's developing this? Any idea?
Payback.
Okay.
No, I actually don't. I have no clue.
That'll be kind of interesting. This will be the first time the Need for Speed game's been open world, right? Or was there one prior to this?
No. Nope. There was one. The one that came out, at least one, that came out on the Wii U. The one that came out towards the Wii U's launch.
Okay.
So I remember I bought it. I was starving for games.
What's it good?
Was open world. It was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know how much I played of it. Like I said, I bought it because I was starving for games at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We've all done that.
Yeah.
Yes, we have. So, it looks interesting. I mean, it doesn't look great, but I mean, what really can you do with a racing game now these days, right?
Got to go cross country or bust.
It should make a future racing game.
If your game doesn't let you, oh my gosh. If your game doesn't let you drive in tunnels under the Atlantic Ocean and continue your journey in Europe, I don't want to play it.
Wow. That's really specific too.
I want a game to have like real-time driving. So if you do drive across the country, it's going to take you days to do it.
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, totally. Oh, and then you could fast travel if you've been to a place already.
No, you can't do that.
Oh,
no.
Man.
No.
Highway drive is
a real stickler.
I'm going to make the most realistic racing sim ever.
Highway driving is some of the most boring things to do in like real life. I could not imagine doing it in a video game.
Yeah.
It'd be like that truck driver simming game. You guys know the one I'm talking about?
Oh my God.
Euro Truck Simulator?
Yeah, yeah.
I had a friend who really liked that.
Yeah.
What about Desert Bus? Anybody remember that?
I remember that one, yeah.
I'm going to tell you guys something.
Okay.
I have my library. Train Simulator.
Oh.
Oh, yes. I'd want it.
You did? Nice.
I did.
And?
It was fun. You could drive trains. Yeah. You got to make sure you go right for your conductor's hat.
Did you wear a conductor's hat?
No, I didn't.
Really get the full experience then.
I guess not. Yeah.
Eric, a question about the game. Was it on rails?
Yes. What do you mean? Oh. Oh, I did. Ha ha.
Did you get to drive any future trains?
No. I drove some passenger train in California. It was good.
Did you get to drive the train from Back to the Future 3, Doc Brown's time-traveling train?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
This game sounds like crap. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of crap, did anybody watch the trailer for The Evil Within 2?
I don't know if that's fair. I mean, that's not really fair.
I just couldn't get into this first one, so.
Yeah, I skipped it.
Me too. I'll be skipping the second one.
Yeah, it doesn't, I mean, and I don't like the whole angle that, I mean, like the, you know, the backstory behind it and everything like that. It just seems kind of eh.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Long.
Okay.
All right, so why is that not correct, Eric?
I didn't say it wasn't correct. I said it might not be fair.
Okay.
I don't know. I think people will be excited for this game.
Oh, they definitely will. Yeah. I know a lot of people who like the first one.
Yeah.
That's all I meant.
Did you play it?
No.
All right.
Ooh. Wow. Then I guess that's what we got to say about that.
Moving on.
Moving on to the Red Revolver trailer.
Yeah, I love Red Revolver.
AKA the Red Dead Revolver.
Redemption.
Redemption. Damn it. Maybe I shouldn't even talk about this one.
Did you guys watch it? No.
I didn't watch it. Damn it. I watched it with the sound off, so I can't really speak much to it.
I didn't watch
it. Don't have to do that, but I do it for some reason. It looks amazing. The game looks beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it doesn't look anything like the first one. It looks like they actually spent a lot of time like creating the wilderness and making it look really good. So that looks really exciting. I'm really excited for this game because I love the first one, or I should say Red Dead Redemption.
The second one. Yeah.
Second one. Yeah. But I like the first one as well.
Nice.
So
I like get a chance. Gun.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good
game. Wasn't bad. Yeah.
I played the crap out of that game. I don't know why.
There you go.
I did. Yeah,
it wasn't bad.
I actually beat that game. Surprisingly.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, dude. maybe I was hard up for games and broke or something, but I bought it and I just remember playing the crap out of it. I even hunted all those like, what was it? The beast, like the white bear, the albino bear, and all that.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I probably put way too much time into that game.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, I enjoyed it. I know it got a lot of crap, but I didn't think it was that bad. Yeah, it
did. I didn't think it was either. It was good for what it was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Those were the early days of the Xbox, weren't they? So.
Yeah, they were. Yes, they were. So that was my snapshot of Gun, the Xbox 360 game.
Wow.
I think Eric's going to bring us a Metroid snapshot now, aren't you, buddy?
Yeah, I am.
Wow, sell it, man.
So, I kind of talked about this a little bit last week, but I've been playing Metroid. And I actually finished it just last night. So I wrote the snapshot, as is customary, before I finished the game, because it's a snapshot.
Yep.
So, this is a Metroid game, obviously. You know, I'm very coherent today. So it's a Metroid game. It's a remake of Metroid 2. If you don't know what this story that is, Samus is employed to go to the Metroid's home world and commit genocide, basically. To wipe them all out.
You're right. I've never really thought about that till now.
Pretty horrible, actually.
She gotta, she gotta hunt them all down.
Pretty good context there.
Gotta hunt them all down and kill them all dead. So
kill them dead.
Metroid's known for its exploration, and that continues here. Instead of having the whole open world being the potential for exploration, think Super Metroid, it's more in linear fashion, with big areas to explore right after another. So you'll go into one area and you'll have to kill, say, three Metroid. Metroids?
I don't know.
You have to kill three of these scary brain monsters. And then, once you defeat all three of them, you can progress into the next large area. A lot of people were complaining about this, but I think it works really well. It allows for deep exploration while keeping you on a path forward, so you don't feel like you're lost and not doing anything. In addition, just like in previous Metroid games, you're always finding rocket upgrades, you're always finding health upgrades, you're always finding something that's making you feel like you're progressing, even if you're not actually progressing. So, yeah. There's just so much to go into. Now Samus has a counter, so enemies will flash bright white and charge at you. You press the counter button and you can kill them with one shot. I actually think that's been overused.
Yeah.
It's fine, though.
Yeah, it's not like it ruins the game. It's just, you know.
Right. Certain bosses, you need to use it, and if you don't use it, the boss fights just get a lot tougher and a lot less easy. My brain is melted this morning. Anyway, you know, the fights are just a lot more efficient if you're countering, you know, and you know what you're doing. In that way, I actually found the boss fights similar to Cuphead and Dark Souls, in that the bosses have a pattern, and they can be frustrating if you don't know what you're doing, and you can't figure out how to damage them. But once you do, it's really satisfying. There was one huge twist that dropped my jaw, as I was mentioning to Jason last night. I'm not going to spoil what it is here.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet.
No, it's at the very end, so you'll get to it.
Okay.
Is it different from the original game?
Yes.
What? You'll have to tell me after this show.
I'll tell you. Yeah. I don't want to ruin it for Jason though, because it's like such a cool moment.
Yeah, I don't want to have that, because I am going to play through this thing. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
But just close your ears. Just close your ear holes.
Well, wait, okay. That's cool.
Wait, you guys can't do that?
No.
No. Oh. So that's cool. I love that game. I remember the original. It was one games I had on the Game Boy, and I played the crap out of it.
Yeah, I think this is a great remake. I mean, good. Rick, not Rick, Jason, you can even speak to this, even though you haven't beaten it. Like, it still has that feel. You still go in and you're hunting down these Metroid.
Oh, absolutely. And I much like Rick, I played the hell out of the original on the Game Boy. So it has, if you played the original, you will feel at home with this one, because you'll recognize, you know, certain elements, but there's so much new in this game too, that I just wanted to add that it almost plays like a new adventure, even though the story is, you know, a little bit familiar. There's like the counters, and like you said, there's even something new at the end. So it, you know, as you go, it's going to get you in certain places. So it's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's really well done. The only change that I would have made to it is I would have put it on the Switch.
Yeah, and hopefully it does come to the Switch.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Gosh, sorry. I just had a giggle fit. Yeah, the only reason I could see this not working on the Switch, and this is something that they could easily work around, is that the map's on the second screen. Mm-hmm. And you also, actually, that's not true. You use the second screen to change between your weapons. Mm-hmm. You tap on your screen. So, I don't know. I'm sure they could make it work if they wanted it to, though.
I think they could.
Oh, for sure. So, that's it. I really enjoyed my time with it. I didn't 100% it. I didn't get every power up and everything. I might go back and see that again.
Jeez, Eric.
After you finish the game, you unlock hard mode. So I might go back and see on that. Although that's going to be tough because this game was already not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not.
Have you gotten to the, I forget what they're called, the Gamma Metroids, Jason?
No.
They're the ones who have legs and they crawl on the ground and then they float in the air.
Ugh, no.
Okay.
No, I got the ice beam and I played for like maybe 20 minutes, half an hour after that. And then I just saved and I haven't played in a few days.
Okay. Well, it's super good. Like, I'm just so happy with the way this turned out. And this actually made me want to go back and actually play through Metroid Prime 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Because I've only played like halfway through Metroid Prime 1 and I haven't played the other ones. Even though I have.
You know, and you were saying that the other day, and I think that would be a great release for Switch. I mean, just like a cartridge with the three of them.
Yeah. The thing is, though, and I know they could easily work around this, is that when they were ported to the Wii, they were all given motion controls.
Mm-hmm.
It's for aiming and such.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want that. I just want to use the analog sticks.
What about the GameCube version?
Well, that's the thing. The first two released on the GameCube and had analog controls, so I'm sure they could do it.
Yeah.
And Metroid Prime 3, Corruption, I'm sure they could freaking do it. They could just give it analog controls. Let us play it, please.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Because
I don't feel like hooking up my Wii U to play this game. Anyway, that's it. I also reviewed, I don't know if it ran yet, but I also reviewed the Atoning film.
Did it not? Maybe it didn't.
I'm not sure. I didn't say it. It was kind of cheesy. So for the most part, it was a really solid, competent, freaky horror movie.
Uh-huh.
But about three quarters of the way through, something happens, and it just made me not take the movie seriously at all.
Oh.
So, weird. It's a shame, because I really like most of it.
But it's kind of a low-budget thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I can't imagine this had a high budget.
Okay.
But at the same time, if I don't want to go into spoilers here because it's a movie. So.
Yeah. Okay.
It was good.
It was good. Okay.
Worth a watch for sure.
Good for the month of October?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Spooky.
It's Halloween.
Halloween.
Yeah, it is.
Sort of.
So, I was thinking about something else. Oh, yeah, Jason has a review.
I do. I did.
About.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. My retro review finally posted of Turok, Dinosaur Hunter on the N64. And if you haven't played this game in a while, you could. It's available on the PC now. It's still good. The N64 original is still pretty good. I played a bunch of it, and I also played the one on the PC just to see the differences. And the PC version does have better graphics. I haven't played it on the Xbox, and I think it's still on the marketplace. I'm not sure, but it's a very competent shooter. It's got very good controls. That at the time when this released, it was like the mid 90s. The controls were like perfect, and they're still pretty good. you know, you won't find a lot of like modern bells and whistles and stuff like that, but it's good. I mean, there's no complaints about that. Graphics, of course, the graphics and the sound are not going to be what they were when the game first came out. The sound, actually, I had some weird problems with. It almost sounded like it cut out at times. It was strange. It was almost like it overloaded the speakers, which I know it didn't, but it was just like, it just got like this weird distortion, you know?
Yeah.
But the graphics I actually still like. There's fog, of course.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's polygonal first person shooters, so it doesn't look like it looked when it first came out. It's not as impressive, but I still liked it. I still like the way it looked. And I love the way the guns look in this game. I forgot to mention that in the review, but I really like the way the guns look. They look really cool. They did a great job on that. This was made by Iguana, right after they got purchased by Acclaim, which was the publisher on this one. And Turok, for people who don't know, is actually a comic book character, a Valiant character from Valiant's first run, but way before that. He came out in the 50s. He was an indie comic character who was purchased by Valiant to add to their universe at the time, which was in the 90s. And actually, right, I think the year after this game came out, Acclaim actually bought Valiant. And
okay, all right, we're good again.
Okay, so yeah, so Acclaim had bought Valiant, and they existed for a couple of years past that, and then they just kind of petered out until they came back a few years ago in the I forget what year, maybe 2012, something like that. But anyway, I gave this one a 77. It's still a great game. It's still a lot of fun. And if you're an N64 owner who has not played this for some reason and you like first-person shooters, I think you're pretty safe hunting down a copy. And if you have a PC, I think it's on Steam. It's definitely on GOG. You can check out a slightly enhanced version by Night Dive Studios. So cool. Check that one out.
Neat. Well, good stuff. I always liked the idea of that game, but I never actually played it.
It's fun.
So neat. It's fun. I'll have to look into it.
Yeah.
All right, Jason, you ready for the comic rack?
Oh, sure. So not a ton of stuff this week, though we did have a few previews of New York Comic Con stuff. Valiant announced its slate of giveaways and stuff that you can buy at its booth. And of course, there's like 50 million things. So we have that posted up. Check that out. Valiant does a great job with that. And then also Sideshow released their sneak peek list of stuff that you'll be seeing at Comic-Con. That includes the Obi-Wan figure that we've talked about here. Luke Skywalker from the new movie coming out. And a few other ones.
That looks awesome too, by the way.
Yeah, I love the hand.
Yeah.
Looks really cool. There's a really cool looking Swamp Thing statue that they're promoting. There's Thor from Ragnarok. So, you know, there's some cool stuff. And Sideshow always puts on a good show. They always have an enormous booth, lots of stuff to look at. So that'll be coming up.
Nice.
Past that, let's take a look. We've got Black Hammer, which is one of Dark Horse's newest hits. That will be coming back in 2018 with a book called Age of Doom, as they really expand the Black Hammer universe, which is a superhero universe. And they're also going to be doing a series of miniseries, each one with a different artist, but Jeff Lemire on board writing them. And that's going to really, again, expand that little kind of niche universe that they've created over there. So that should be cool. If you like Black Hammer, and Black Hammer is a really good book, then I'd recommend checking that out. Also, we had a big reveal this week. I think it was this week, because I don't think we talked about it last week. As goes Marvel Legacy. I think a lot of people had thought that Phoenix was going to be the big reveal as the returning superhero that Marvel had been touting for months, but she is not, and the actual hero is Wolverine.
So,
not Old Man Logan, the original Wolverine. So,
isn't that cool though? Aren't people happy about that?
I'm happy about it. I think a lot of people feel like we all knew Wolverine was coming back at some point anyway, so it's kind of like it's as anticlimactic as Phoenix. But
so here's my question. I have a question for you, Jason. Is Wolverine a legacy character now? Like he's a is that what he is? Like the essence of Wolverine is a legacy character?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. There is a if you follow the link in the story over to Newsarama, which is the source for this, you will find a couple of comic panels, and there's one that shows the adamantium cocoon that hardened around him that supposedly killed him. It shows it cracked open, and so you know he definitely crawled out of that. And also there's some that so this is really weird, but they mentioned at one point in the article that he has an Infinity Stone.
What?
Yep. Which one? And they don't say, and they don't describe how he got it or anything. But the book, I think the book is out as of this week. So if you want to check that out and see exactly what the hell is going on over there, then you could. It's Marvel Legacy number one where he returns. But it's really, I mean, that sounds insane. But even with all of that, I have to say I'm still happy with this. I was not crazy about Old Man Logan or the 50 other Wolverines that they had running around in the Marvel since he died.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad he's back. Past that, we had a couple other things, I do believe. Let's see. Valiant. Okay, DST has a bunch of new stuff out in the stores. Diamond Select, of course, it's another week, so there's more Diamond Select stuff. They have a new, relatively new form factor called Vinimates, which are vinyl figures of Minimates. So they look like Minimates, but they're bigger and they're not posable. So a couple more came out this week. In effect, they're statuettes. So they came out with some DC ones. We've got Green Lantern, Harley Quinn, Batman, and we've got some Back to the Future 2. Vinimates, we've got Marty and Doc, and then we've got some Elf Vinimates in the form of Buddy and Jovi. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
It's almost that time of year, you know.
It almost is, but not quite.
That's fair.
Then we've got some really cool Marvel Gallery statues of the Netflix shows. We've got the Punisher, we've got Daredevil. Both look great. I probably could have done without Punisher holding Daredevil's cowl in his hand, since it kind of makes no sense from the point of the show because he's dressed up in the Punisher outfit, and that scene actually he never even took the cowl off, but you know what I'm saying. And then there's a Netflix Iron Fist box set of Minimates, so if you like that show, there's a set of four that came out this week also. That is correct. It's a costumeless Iron Fist.
Oh my god, that's what I need.
Listen, I know.
Oh yeah.
If there's one thing fans love, it was the fact that he didn't have a costume. I know that. Yeah.
I know that fans are really into that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then we also had a pretty awesome announcement, if you are a Legend of Zelda fan, and that is that Dark Horse is publishing the Legend of Zelda Encyclopedia. This is a huge book. I think it's almost 400 pages, and it is made to complement the previous two, which were Hyrule Historia and Legend of Zelda Art and Artifacts. We have reviews of both up on the site, and with this new book that creates something called something that Dark Horse is calling the Goddess Collection. So three big books. This one is the encyclopedia, and it's made to be a reference guide to The Legend of Zelda. So the first book is the history of the fictional world. The second book is all of the art from that world. And the third book is a reference to it. So there you go. And it runs from the original game up until Twilight Princess HD. So it does not include Breath of the Wild, but the previous two books didn't either. So that's kind of where they were going. And that is it from the comic rack.
Neat. That actually sounds pretty cool. I have a copy of the Hyrule Historia here.
So, you like it?
Yeah, it's really neat to just flip through and look at, like, just read about the history and the splitting timelines and everything.
Yeah, I really liked that one. I liked Art and Artifacts a lot, too. But the first one was just so cool because it actually tried to make sense of Zelda timelines.
Yeah, exactly. You know, up until then, it was just fans yelling at each other about what came first, what happened.
Right.
But I really think
this is the official.
Right. Yeah. Super cool.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to this one. And Dark Horse does an amazing job with these kind of books. So I'm very excited for it. Comes out next year.
Awesome. We'll look forward to that. So Jason, not Jason. Jeez, I keep saying the wrong name. Rick seems to think that handheld gaming is dead. Now we're going to talk about this.
I also think that.
How can you think that?
Well, how do you think it's still alive?
Yeah.
How do you? Okay. Well, first of all, I just finished Metroid on my 3DS.
Yeah, it's one game.
Is handheld you gaming? Win. No, you don't win. Is handheld gaming made up of consoles that you only play, you know, while you're out and about, or is handheld gaming something that you play literally in your hands? Because if it's the latter definition, then the Switch is included.
Right. No. To me, it's not. So to me, the Switch is not included in that, and your phone is not included in that. Those are different kinds of things.
I concede that if you are going by that definition and you don't agree with those, then it's going to be dead. I mean, I agree, because you don't need a dedicated device if consoles can do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
See, to me, the Switch is actually...
The concept of it isn't dead, though. To me, if you're saying handheld gaming is dead, you're going to say that you're never going to see people playing games on trains or planes or buses or anything like that at all, on anything. I'm as big a proponent of hating phones and video games on phones as the next guy. But that doesn't mean they're not playing video games on their phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, totally. And you're right. But I guess what might be a better statement is dedicated handheld gaming is dead.
Yeah.
Because
for sure.
I don't think there's any argument as to that. The PS Vita is dead as a doornail, especially here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And the 3DS has stuff still coming out, but you can see it's not what it used to be, and you can see that the Switch is pretty damn popular. So I can't imagine the 3DS is going to be around for years to come, unless Nintendo decides to take another stab at it and launch another portable, which I wouldn't understand why they would even bother. So,
yeah.
Well, see this: the handheld gaming is in its death throes with the 3DS on its way out, but I don't think it's totally. Yeah, I mean, we're getting a new Mario RPG release on the 3DS next week.
New?
Well, I mean,
I don't know. Yeah,
it's not new. You're right, but it's
the same thing. It's like Metroid again. It's like a remake.
Well, yeah, it's not even a remake. It's just a upscale and re-release, basically, with an extra mode. So,
which actually looks really fun.
It does. I kind of want to get it. I mean, it was a really fun RPG. And if you're a fan of, like, the old school Mario RPGs and Paper Mario, this is where those style of games went.
Right.
The active battle time where you press A to dodge or take less damage or something like that. Like, that's where these games went.
But I think that the days of, you know, having a portable system, quote-unquote, like a Game Boy, or a DS. I don't think you're ever going to really see that again.
I agree.
You know, the phone. So I think that's probably a better way to put it. I think the cell phones, and the console, like the Switch, which, by the way, I love the Switch. I really do. I like it a hell of a lot better than I thought I was even going to like it. And being able to snap the thing off of your television and just take it with you and then plug it right back into your television again is really, really awesome. It's great, and I kind of don't like that other consoles can't do it now.
Yeah, no, same thing. Like, last night, I was playing Dragon Ball Z, and then I was going to go out and hang out in the living room, so I just popped the thing off the dock and went out, and I didn't miss a beat. It was great.
Yeah, how great is that?
Pretty incredible.
Yeah, so, I mean, but, you know, given that, it's kind of like, you know, that's it for portable gaming, you know, dedicated portable gaming. So I think the Switch, in a way, is the kind of like the last nail in that coffin. So, I mean, I can't imagine it's going to be around too much longer.
Right. No, me, I agree with you. When we're putting it in these terms, I agree with you. But I don't think the concept of playing games mobile is ever going to go away.
No, definitely not. You're right. The concept is not going anywhere.
Right. Well, that's what I meant by handheld gaming. Otherwise, I agree with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair to say.
You know, I kind of hope Sony doesn't bother with this again, taking another stab. Like a few months ago, there was a rumor flipping around that at E3 they were going to talk about it. No, I was just going to say that at E3 they were going to talk about another handheld, but I really hope they don't bother with that again.
I saw an article somewhere this week, and it was an interview with the president of Sony, not the Japanese guy, the guy of, like, the American division. I forget his name. Mm-hmm. And they said that they don't have any plans for
that's good.
Another thing. So.
Yeah, I honestly don't think anyone should, unless you're going to make it look like the Switch, where it just detaches and then reattaches.
Exactly. Something that you can do, you can play at home and then take with you.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, just the quality of games, and I'm not saying that handheld games like Metroid and Pokemon aren't high quality.
Right.
But when you just have these deep games that you can just put on your TV and play and then take with you.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Like we actually had our review. We didn't mention it, but we had our review of Mario plus Rabbids post this week. And I mean, that kind of a game. Yeah, you probably could do something like that on the 3DS, but it wouldn't look anywhere near as good. And to take that with you, like you're playing on your television, you just detach it, throw it in a case, take it with you wherever you're going. You know, you can get in a few rounds. I mean, that's just so awesome.
Right. And especially with like turn-based stuff like that, or the next Pokemon, I imagine that the Pokemon for the Switch that they already announced is going to be a hell of a lot closer to the 3DS games than anything new. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be, because that's how they view it. They view that series as a portable experience. You know, they don't necessarily want you to be glued to your TV playing with that. They want it to be sociable and personable. So I can't imagine it's going to look too different.
Right. No, I think you're right on that.
And I think people are going to be mad. People are going to say, well, we have this hardware. Why are we still playing a Pokemon RPG that looks like this?
Well, that's probably true.
I mean, people will be mad, but they need to get over it because that's what Nintendo wants for their... Not Nintendo. That's what the Pokemon Company wants for their main series of games.
Oh, the Pokemon Company.
Well, they're different. That's why... Oh my gosh, I'm like frozen. That's why there are Pokemon apps on phones and stuff. Because Nintendo wouldn't put that out, but Nintendo wouldn't, but Pokemon Company is all over that.
Oh, speaking of which, Super Mario Run got an upgrade.
Yeah, and a discount, right? For a limited time?
Ooh, did they?
I thought it was like 50% off.
Oh, wow. Okay. Maybe it is.
But yeah, you can play as Daisy now. There's a new world, and it was...
There's some new backdrops too, I think, because I was playing a stage that I'm very familiar with, and it had a completely different backdrop. So I think maybe they swapped out some of the backdrops, put some new ones in.
That's cool. I mean, I still haven't picked it up, which is blasphemy, but
it's fun. It's fun. I mean, you're not really missing very much, but it's a fun diversion. And if you're standing around doing nothing or waiting for somebody, you know.
Right. I gotcha. All right. Well, there we go. Handheld gaming is not dead. Thanks very much, guys. What are y'all playing?
Well, I wouldn't agree with that statement. Because that has a connotation. But what I am playing is Metroid Samus Returns. And I'm still trying to finish up Mario plus Rabbids. I'm pretty close, so hopefully this week. And I will be playing Cuphead and lots of it.
Have you started it yet?
Nope, have not.
Oh, man.
Oh, and I'm playing Sign Mora on the Nintendo Switch, which I will be reviewing. So there's that.
Gotcha.
Nice.
I just want to say that I am also almost done Rabbids, but I'm not quite there yet. I've kind of put it on hold a little bit to play Dragon Ball Xenoverse because I was
getting How is that?
It's fun. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like Skyrim if it were in Dragon Ball Z. You get an open world. Yeah. So you get an open world, then you can run around and you can train with whoever you want. So, like, I was training with Krillin for a while, even though I probably shouldn't.
Krillin?
He's a weak babby. So, training with him, and then, like, it opens up, and then you can, like, align with different factions. So, like, you can go to the one sub-world and, like, work for Hercule, and he'll pay you to be his bodyguard, and then you can do missions on Earth and, like, work with the Great Saiyaman. Or you can, like, go to Frieza's ship and join the Frieza Force. Stuff like that.
Frieza Force.
So I'm enjoying it a lot. It's a fun mindless. Like it's like if you're playing, if you're getting fatigued with this the turn based strategy of like Rabbids, and you just want to beat on somebody, you put that in, and you just beat the hell out of your enemies. It's great.
Oh, that's cool.
It's fun, but. Yeah, other than that, I just finished up Super Metroid, or Metroid Samus Returns, and Cuphead. I got Cuphead. And that game is absolutely incredible. I know Rick's playing it as well.
I am.
What do you think of it so far, Rick?
It's just a lot of fun. I enjoy it. Thoroughly enjoy it. And I don't mind the difficulty, because it's just, I don't know. It's just rewarding. It's really rewarding when you beat a boss and whatnot. So it's fun.
Right, it's like you get this sense of accomplishment when you actually do finish the boss. Like, mm-hmm. you could die a bunch of times, but then once you get the kill, it's like, oh, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
On the second island, there's three. You can see there's a guy who tells you how many times you've died and stuff.
Mm.
So that's sad to see.
Oh, man, mine's going to be like hundreds and hundreds.
It sounds demoralizing.
Oh, it is.
Interesting. Interesting. And I don't know, it's just a really made, well-made game. Animation's really cool. The characters are fun. I like, basically, it's just a boss battle after boss battle. They have these like little levels where you can run and gun. You can earn some like coins, and you can even power up your Cupman. So there's a little bit of some RPG elements to it. So that's interesting. But it sounds stupid, but at the same time, it's just really cool. Like these little things where if you do die during a boss fight, it'll tell you how far you are and how close you are to actually beating the boss by this little progression.
Oh, that's great.
At the end of your try. So you can kind of know how much further you need to go, or how much further it's going to take to beat the boss. So I don't know. It's just little things that are really cool about the game.
Another thing with that is it also shows the progress bar is broken up by the phase of the fight.
Yeah.
Now, most bosses are multi-phases, so they'll change forms or they'll change attack patterns or whatever. So you can see how close you are to finishing a phase and moving on to the next one.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the bosses are varied, too. It's not like you fight the same guy 15 times. No. Like every fight has been different so far.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
I love it.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to start.
I don't know how far I'm going to get in it, but it's very fun.
I got to try to beat it.
Oh, good luck. Yeah.
I gotta do it today. Finish it today. Okay. I'm not gonna do that. But, alright. I think that's just about it.
Could it be?
Could it be? It is.
Wow.
Alright, guys. Thanks for listening. As always, I'm Eric. Joined by Rick and Jason. We didn't do introductions this episode.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Well. Here we are now.
Wait, yeah. just splice it in. I'll say, hi, this is Jason.
Okay.
Hi, this is Rick.
Excellent. Good work. This is going to look exactly. If we start editing, we're not organic anymore. If we're not organic, it's going to eat us and consume our content. See?
But we're not organic anyway, Eric. We are robots.
Well, we know our fans are.
Yep. And that's who we play to.
That's right.
We love you, bots.
Yeah. All right. We're huge on Cybertron. Or maybe not Cybertron, maybe Gobatron.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
That's our audience.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.